Thank you, Miss Joyce. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians, if you will. I know I'm taking my time going through Ephesians, but I told you that. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Just hold your hand up, and they'll come by and get you. Just keep your hand up. All right, a few missing. All right. Keep your hand up. Don't let them miss anybody there. I need a worksheet. Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1. I think I'm going to do the same thing as I did this morning. I usually do the scripture first, but I want to pray because I want to give you a little bit of background, a quick review here as we go, and I'll get to talking and I'll forget to pray. We don't want to do that. Everybody have a worksheet? We're all good to go. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We're going to talk about signs of the supernatural tonight. Signs of the supernatural. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And again, I thank you for that old rugged cross. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done in the hearts of these boys and girls who sang for us tonight. I thank you for bringing them our way. And Lord, we want to be a blessing to them as well. And quite a group of kids come in on Sunday morning. And I just thank you for the opportunity we have to make a difference in their lives. I thank you for all the folks who give their time and their energies to work with them in Sunday school and children's church and Wednesday night program, the Sunday afternoon program. And just thank you so much for what you're doing. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this evening. Lord, we come from all different backgrounds and from all different areas in the world and different stages of life and so forth. But yet, Lord, out of all these people, you want to make one family, one body to serve you. And Lord, you know all about it. You know exactly what it takes. So Lord, I pray that you'll pull us all together. Help us to be a blessing to this area. And not just a blessing, that we may make an imprint. We may be able to draw others to Christ, that they may look at what's going on here and see Christ in us and have a desire to know Christ. Not only that, but we would have the fortitude, the energy, the knowledge, and the love for others to give them the gospel of Jesus. We pray, Lord, you just bless us this time. Give the service to you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to meet, to move in our hearts. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Book of Ephesians is trying to teach us how to have one happy family, one body of Christ. And we've had a lot of growth here recently and in different places, and that's all good. And the thing is, we want to be all of one mind, one body, one thought. And if we're all in tune with the Holy Spirit, that should happen. And so he's talking about here about the, well, are we all in tune with the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but, you know, there's folks who have been, I grew up in a little church where this is the way you always do it. So that must be right. And if you do it any other way, then you must be wrong. And the fact is, you get people coming in from someplace else and all of a sudden say, this is the way we do it. This is right. This is the way we do it. It's right. Well, the fact is, some things are just preferences. I understand that. Some things are just preferences. But the fact is, a lot of times we stand on things, and people, I think I've told you about it. There was an old guy, they have all these, you know, have all these judge shows on TV, you know, this judge and that judge. And there used to be a guy by the name of Judge Wampler. You remember that name? And, boy, he was a mess. And I didn't watch him much, but I don't know whether he came on right after the news or something. I don't know, but I would see him. But every once in a while, he would, actually quite often, he'd say, "Well, the good book says." And then he'd say, "A penny saved, a penny earned." Well, that was Ben Franklin. Then he'd say, the good book said, you know, birds of a feather flock together, you know, and he would attribute a lot of things to the good book. And I'm not sure, it might have been a good book, but it wasn't this book. And we do the same thing. We'll kind of walk in. All of a sudden, we're trying to run church on tradition. There's nothing wrong with traditions. I'm a traditional type of guy. However, the tradition, and again, there's nothing wrong with having traditions. But the fact is, let's not fight over a tradition. In fact, the Bible says you got to watch those traditions of men. We'll get ourselves in trouble. It might even be a good tradition. We say, our tradition is this, all of a sudden, boom, we're fighting over something that's not going to mean anything. We've been in heaven for 30 seconds. So there are some things that we ought to be in tune with, and we ought to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so we were talking about these things. Let me read here in verse number 14. Let me back up to 11. Chapter 1 of Ephesians. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the... I know I've been talking about this a lot. It just happens to be these two passages. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, we talked a little bit about this morning, and I didn't purposely put this all together. I think somebody else did. We're supposed to be in tune with him anyway. But the fact is, he says that we're all part of the same body. We were predestined. We have the same Holy Spirit. We're all part of the same family. We have the same Father. We have the same genes, if you will. We're born again, regenerated, born from above, and there ought to be some things that are similar. Now, he says, if we're all saved, we expect this all to work the way it's supposed to work. There ought to be some things showing up in our lives. That way we know we're in good stead here. Now, let's look at verse 15. Wherefore, I also, this is Paul talking about the church in Ephesus, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, on your paper, these are from a message a couple weeks ago. As we saw the signs of salvation, and I'm going to spend a lot of time. We've been here, but I want you to understand this. First of all, you ought to be saved. Listen, there's been very few. There's been a few folks that I have talked to kind of on the side and so forth, but 90% of the people who have, or probably 95% of the people who have joined this church, I have sat down one-on-one somewhere along the way and asked them some questions. Do you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? Okay, why do you know that for sure? If you're outside the gates of heaven, you knocked on the door, why would they let you in the door? What would you tell them? We need to know that we're saved. Listen, good people are good people. I appreciate that. But the fact is, some people are just good people because they were trained well. They're lost as a ball in high weeds. They're not saved. If they're not saved, they do not have the Holy Spirit. If they do not have the Holy Spirit, he cannot be led by the Spirit. It's just that simple. So they're very good people. I've known a lot of good people. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. I'm sorry, because you're not saved by works, not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing regeneration, the Holy Spirit coming in, doing something new in our hearts. So we have to be saved. And he says, here's two good signs that you're saved. Are you walking by faith? Or are you still scared to death to live the way God asks you to live? Now, wait a minute. All the faith doesn't come at one time. It's little by little by little by little by little. I understand. But is faith growing? Or as soon as everything goes bad, you just fall apart? Either, if we're just falling apart, then either we were never saved in the first place or we're not letting him help us grow in him. Something's wrong. There ought to be a peace that passes understanding in your life. When everything goes crazy, we still know we have a Father. We have a Heavenly Father, like we talked about this morning. And then he says, we know that we're saved, we have faith, and he says, and I've heard of your love unto all the saints. Don't tell me, he says, don't tell me you love God and you don't love not your brethren. If you can't love your brethren whom you can see, don't tell me you can love God whom you can't see. God is love. He that loveth is born of God, saved. And knoweth God, working. The Lord is teaching. You've been spending time with him and his word. It's changing. Now again, it's not going to happen overnight, but it ought to be happening. And listen, if you're waiting for somebody to, you say, well, I can't love them because I don't like them, then that's not love. Love is not an extension of like. You can love. You may not like anybody around you and love every single one of them. That's why he says, you have a big party. You know, he says, don't just call all their friends and that kind of stuff. Call some other folks in here. You know, he said, well, I don't want them. Well, do you love them? See, love is not about what they can do for you. It's about what you can do for them. Love is not about making your life convenient. It's about helping them to know Christ and seeing Christ in you. Not a single one of us was lovely enough for Christ to bother to die for us. It is not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. Gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love. I mean, this. Listen. Now, you can try to put it on, but when you really get squeezed, what comes out? You squeeze a toothpaste tube, and you know what's inside. When somebody squeezes you, what comes out? There's some folks who are really nice and fine and pretty and nice, and they just the sweetest little thing, but then when something goes wrong, sometimes they call that bipolar. I'm not saying there can't be some things that are chemically problems. I'm not saying it can't be that. But I think it's a lot of stuff that we blame on that. I didn't get my way, and all of a sudden I'm going to throw a fit. There's some things don't bother you. Well, if that had ever happened, I wouldn't have done that. Well, then it's not you that has the problem, because that happened outside of you. It was your response to something else. Well, the response begins in your heart. If you're saved, there's going to be faith, there's going to be love. Then we found out some signs of sanctification last 2 weeks. Number two there, he says, that I may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, a disposition, a new renewing of the mind. You're thinking differently. Wisdom, not foolishness, looking for truth, being discreet. I'm not going to go through this. I'm just putting it all in your place there so you can take it home with you here. But he says, listen, there ought to be some revelation of knowledge. It says if you're saved, and we know that by your faith and your love, then some things ought to be changing. You ought to be looking at things the way God looks at things. That's why we went to 2 Peter 1. It says, add to your faith. You're saved? Good. Well, and it's like, okay, I'm saved. That's all. I'm going to heaven, so I'll just live my life the way I'm going to live it. I don't have to worry about any of this other stuff. He says, no. I've got a plan for you. If God's going to see my reflection in you, then bring others to Christ. By the way, you also need to know the gospel. We're not just talking about lifestyle evangelism. But I tell you what, you can ruin your evangelism with your lifestyle. So we're going to make sure lifestyle right. So we got as Pastor Dow's been talking about on Sunday morning, a platform to be able to tell somebody something. You live like the world, they want to hear what you have to say. But they see Christ and you all of a sudden can say, well, I don't know what it is, but I want what he's got. I want what she has. There ought to be some new way of thinking. Knowledge, we should be fully acquainted with him. Our eyes, it says, let it be there. Our eyes should be enlightened. It's we're exercising our mind. We're being made aware of his hope and the calling that he has. We're getting excited. Listen, God's got a plan for you. He wants to do something. Get on board. Jump on that thing and see where he'll take you. By the way, the longer you stay on board, the quicker you're going to get there. The more time you spend on the train, the quicker you're going to stay on here. Some people come on and they ride it for a living and they get off and they go off and do their own thing. Train goes on, they'll come back a year later and get on the train again and go the next step. Why don't we just get on the train? Stay on the train. Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here tonight. You're here tonight. You were here this morning. You heard this loudmouth preacher preach for 45 minutes this morning, and you're back again. Amen. He says, I want it to be apparent in you. And then he says, verse 9 says, and know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Letter E on your paper there says, he says, I want you to know God can do amazing things. In fact, it's far beyond what you could ever think. Well, I'm just stuck here. It's the way my life is. It's the way it's always going to be. No. He says, I want you to know the magnitude, the power. It's possible. Now, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. By the way, the power of possibility thinking, Mr. Schuller, no longer exists. The Crystal Cathedral is a Catholic church now. I'm not looking for I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not looking for somebody just to pump me up to go out and face tomorrow in my flesh. No, I want to go out and walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want Him He carries us. He's our Savior. Now, number three, this is new. He says, all right, we're going to have one body here. We ought to know that we're saved. There ought to be some signs of salvation. We ought to be some signs that we're growing in the Lord. Now, look at this. Number three, signs of the supernatural. Now, I don't get crazy on me here, and I'm not talking about a bunch of wild and crazy things. But he says there in our passage, verse 19, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, go back to your Bible, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I think that church Christendom today likes to talk about the power of God, but they never really think any of it's going to happen. Now watch me. God is not a sideshow. He's not a circus. He's not a magician running out showing his tricks to try to prove who he is. That's not what it is. But he will work in your life. And if he has to move a mountain to do it, I think he'll move the mountain. But there again, usually the biggest mountain is our own pride. We don't need to be moving a lot of mountains. But there are amazing things that God can do, that only God can do. I've had some testimony from some of our folks who have said to me privately, and I won't go into it because it was private, but they said, you know, we've stepped out, we simply have continued to do what God has called us to do right, and we took this need and we put it in His hands. And you know, it took care of itself. It took care of itself. Something happened, this happened, and the emergency came, the crisis came and went, and it was all tended to. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I'm not trying to plug my book out here, but this book out here out of 1 Peter, Casting Your Care. You give it to Him, you leave it there, and then go on about your business doing what He told you to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Do what He tells you to do. Don't do wrong. Do right. Put it in His hand and move on. And you'd be surprised how God will take care of these things. We're so busy trying to figure it all out. And then we think we did it. He says we're supposed to live. We're supposed to see according to the working of His mighty power. Number one underneath that array there. According, in other words, That can be allowed in reference to, in relation, that's the word you're looking for, in relation to, pertaining to, the working, here we go, just give you some definitions, the energy and the working, the operation, that's the word you're looking for, the operation of His mighty power, the vigor of God's, here's this word, forcefulness. So he says verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of His glory, and His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Not in relation to what I can do, but in relation to what He can do. It's the relation, it's the working, the operation, what He does, and it's His force, not my force. It's His power, it's not my power. It's what God can do, not what I can do. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And that's the same passage where it says, adding to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, the knowledge temperance. He says, listen, He is giving us great and precious promises. We can have His divine nature. God, He's the earnest. The Holy Spirit's the earnest of our eternal life. He's the down payment. And so if the Holy Spirit's in you, you ought to know that he's there. Now, I'm not talking about falling down and slobbering. I'm not talking about barking like a dog. I'm not talking about having a laughing fit that you can't control. I don't see any of those things in the Bible. But I do see that God gives them boldness to speak the wonderful works of God. Giving out the gospel, sharing the light of the world. That's what we're trying to do. Just turn a page to Ephesians 3, verse 14 real quick. We're going to get to this. We're talking about supernatural power. Something should be happening in our life that's different than only God could do. Look at verse 14. For this cause, chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole world in heaven and earth is named, that he might grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He says, I'm going to do something from the inside out. I want to make a difference in your life. Now, if you're saying, I'm stuck here, this is the way I'm always going to be. My dad was a drunk, and his daddy was a drunk, and we're just drunk, so that's the way it's always going to be, and that's, we're just stuck here. No, you're not. Now, don't get yourself a vision and say, I decided I want to be president of the United States, and I'm going to pray that God's going to make sure I become the president of the United States. Well, maybe you're not called to be the president of the United States. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. But we surrender to him. And by the way, Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give yourself to him. Surrender to him, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. That you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to know what God's will is, give yourself to him totally. Surrender. Give yourself a living sacrifice. Here I am, whatever you want. Now you think about what that entails. Whatever you want. I remember the day when I was trying to figure out where I was supposed to. I'd always been a music director. I stuttered like Mel Tillis. Yep. It was bad sometimes. It was pretty bad. Sometimes worse than others. And I'm praying, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. If you want me to go to Africa and be a missionary, that's what I'll do. Just make sure, I just want to know I'm in the will of your God, in the middle of your will. And I believe with all my heart, of course, some of you know the story there, but I had already had a contact with this church. That's when I got a phone call. I was in the middle of this, praying this. It wasn't the first time I prayed that, by the way. One little surrender surrender needs more than one little prayer. Surrender every day, every moment. That means when someone cuts you off, surrender says, what would Jesus do? What would he want me to do? Boy, that horn would be real nice right about now. I've got a good one on that car, too. I mean, it'd pick them up there. I tell you what, it'd perk them up. Listen, it's hard. We got to surrender every moment. But you surrender, he'll start giving you his will. Things will start going on beyond what you can think. Now, watch what it says here in Ephesians 3. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, that's who he is, may be able to comprehend, to understand with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, that's who we're talking about, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We want to see God do something. And we want to see God be the one that does it. We need all, this is the church, we need to surrender. There will be something that's just him. We should be able to see growth in our lives that can only be explained by the supernatural working of God. Not where we came from, not where we are right at the moment, but the supernatural work of God. Letter B. Jesus did it all and does it all. That's the word you look for, does it all. Look at verse 20. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He says, and what he wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us were to believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he says, this is the work of God. This is what God wrought. God built. That word wrought there means brought to action. Brought to action is the word you're looking for. Action. Brought to action. It's not what we've pumped ourselves up to do. But it doesn't mean we sit just because, well, we're just waiting. God, show yourself. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about us giving, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I need to go out and work today. I need to be Christ wherever I am. I'm the body of Christ. I need to be his hands, his feet, his mouth, his encouragement. Look at letter C. Watch this. Jesus cannot be stopped from doing what he has predetermined to do. He cannot be stopped. Now, except for one thing. If we refuse him. You go back to the Old Testament, I believe it's Psalm 78. He talks about we've limited the mighty God. The Holy One of Israel. We've limited the Holy One of Israel. You know how you can limit what God does in your life? By just simply refusing to believe him. But with him, all things are possible. But without him, we can do nothing. Will we remember that? He's the vine, we're the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. He says, verse 21, that he is, look on your paper, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. All power. Far above all ruling governments. Well, we can't do this. We've got a bad government. We're just stuck. God's bigger than the government. He's bigger than the government. By the way, in the book of Daniel, somehow Daniel was blessed by God and God allowed him, so to speak, to do what he was supposed to do, even in the environment, the context of an evil government. But why? Because Daniel just did what he was called to do. He just kept doing what he was supposed to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same thing. Well, I mean, if God's going to save us, he will. If he won't, well, so be it, but we're still not going to bow. Watch this. Daniel, when they were told, he said, well, we can't find anything against this guy. By the way, if you're a Christian, they shouldn't be able to find anything against you. He said, the only way we can find anything against him is if we make right illegal. The only way we're going to be able to ever have a charge against him is just make right illegal. So when it says we're told that they couldn't pray, what's it say? It says Daniel went to his window, opened his window, and faced Jerusalem and prayed as it was his way, just like he always did. Now, you know what we do? In our little world, and I hate to say it, Christians, having done all to stand, we ought to put on the whole armor of God and stand. I understand. Having put it all on there and stand. Be able to stand. But I'll tell you what we do a lot of times. Somebody starts squeezing us in, and we start to say, well, I'll show them. Well, we're just going to have a great big prayer vigil. We're going to just go down here, prove, look, we're going to pray. Well, there's nothing wrong with praying, but you know what Jesus said? He says, go to your closet and pray in secret, and God will reward you openly. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have public prayer, but by the way, but you know, shouldn't we have been doing that all along if we're so righteous? You know, shouldn't we have been praying? If we're going to pray now in the middle of the street, well, chances are we should have been doing that a long time ago. In fact, if we're not careful, we're not praying to God. We're praying so everybody else can hear us pray. We are praying people. And we want those politicians to know we're praying people and we're a force to be reckoned with. And so we're almost in our prayer, we're trying to intimidate them politically. I'll tell you what we need to do. Maybe we need to get a hold of the Word of God and find something supernatural. But you know what? We're scared to do that. We're afraid He won't hear us. You know why we're afraid He won't hear us? Because we haven't talked to Him real much real recently. Why don't you talk to Daddy? Some? A lot? Talk to Daddy a good bit all the time and give ourselves to be used of Him, especially if the whole body would do that. Maybe we would have headed off most of these problems and wouldn't even have to be there right now. He says, listen, it's far above the ruling governments. Watch. Far above power, authority, and jurisdiction. So I don't care how far he is. God's in a higher position. Well, the judges said, I don't care what the judges said. God's still he's the great judge. And it says, and might. That's the forces. The word's dunamis. That's that Greek word for dynamite we get. Dunamis. It's the power of God. And it says, and dominion. To take control. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Letter D, Jesus is the authority of all things. He says, and hath put all things under His feet. Jesus is the authority. If it needs to be done, He can do it. He has the power. Well, I don't know if God can do this right now, because you see, the Supreme Court made a law. And that's illegal now. Not in God's judgment. Not in God's court. I think we're scared of the supernatural. I think there's been some folks who have done some crazy things, and we're saying, well, you know what? For years, independent Baptists were scared of the Holy Ghost. Don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm not talking about abusing that teaching. I'm talking about there's a still small voice that wants to talk to your heart. There's a God. He's the earnest of the Spirit's in there working, teaching us, guiding us, leading us. He's working in the hearts of people. What is the matter with us if we aren't willing to let the Holy Ghost do His work? He's the authority. Letter E, Jesus is our authority. Stop fighting Him. We don't have any problems going around saying, well, you know what? God's going to get you. You know what? Why don't we start with us? Why don't we bow to Him? When I say bow to Him, I'm just not talking about physically getting on your knees. I'm talking about bow your heart to Him. Lower yourself and say, whatever you want, God, that's what I'm going to do. Now, you know, we're quick to say amen. But I think a lot of folks are scared to even say that because they're afraid what he might ask. But I can't handle what he might ask. Well, you can with him. In fact, maybe you'll see some supernatural things happen. Things that only can be explained that God did it. I know I've used this so many times, but God did this in our life. I just remember Him paying bills that we didn't have money to pay. We tithe. I lost my job, and she had full part time, minimum wage, and we had two kids and school bills and rent bill, and the people down where we had rented our house, they decided they were leaving, so we had a mortgage bill and just one thing after another, and we just didn't have any money. We didn't say how it was going to be, but she got her paycheck there, and she got this little part time wage. I was scared not to tithe. I needed God's blessing big time, especially now, if nothing, you know. So I wasn't about to go back on my tithe. But I'll tell you this. I came to the point, listen, Malachi 3 says, trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord. See if I won't open the windows of heaven, that you won't be able to hold it all. Now, he wasn't saying, all right, try me. He's just saying, go ahead, put it to the test. My word is true. Every bill was paid on time. Didn't have much left over, but every bill was paid on time. Do you believe him or don't you believe him? By the way, if you don't tithe, you're still tithing because he's getting your other 10%. It's his. I'm serious. He said, well, I couldn't live. Boy, if I tithe, I would have been behind 10%. Well, no. He just took his 10% off the top. Jesus is our authority. Stop fighting him, get on board, and go for a wonderful ride. He says, he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now we're the church. He gave us he's the head over all things. We got to make sure we do what he tells us to do. Not what my preference is. Not what the church, what's what I'm looking for? The church specialists tell us to do to build a church. Not necessarily what we did years ago. We need to follow this book and do what God tells us to do. But meantime, we have to all be in tune with Him. Have you seen? We all be signs of the supernatural. You see, if we're saved, and then we walk in His wisdom, learning, we should come to a point where we're learning so much and we're willing to trust Him, and we start seeing Him do things in our life that we really never thought possible. I grew up, you all have heard me say this, I grew up in a family, we weren't rich, but we were well off. And to be honest with you, we really never wanted for anything. We didn't go out and have everything we wanted, but we really had everything we needed. And I used to go to these, Hampstead Youth for Christ years ago would have these rallies down there in Hampstead and at the high school, and they bring folks in and give their testimony and all this stuff, and you hear about this person that grew up in the ghetto and how God saved them, and they were, you know, all these stories, you know. And I remember thinking, I'll never have a story like that. I've got it too good. I'll never have to need God do something for me. Now, wait a minute. First of all, He did everything for me. But the fact is, why do I have to be smacked down flat on my back to start seeing God work? Can't I start from where I am and go up from there? Can't God use me from where I am? See, we equate the blessings of God with material things. Now, He takes care of the material things, and we can see that. And there's times when, like for me, He took us down where we were living paycheck by paycheck. And that's when you see Him work the most. But maybe if we surrender ourselves, present ourselves as a living sacrifice to prove what's his acceptable and perfect will of God, Maybe we'll see him do something we only dreamed of. Like letting little stammering Sterling pastor a church. We looked, well, I could never do that. I couldn't. You got some new folks here, I'll say this. We have folks who came from Open Door. And I heard about this a couple years here, everywhere there. They came up here and they come up and hear me preach. And then he went back and said, well, it must be God because Sterling can talk. I think it's my thorn in the flesh. He lets me stumble and stammer enough to remember that God is the one who's going to have to make this place work. Let me give you number four. We'll be done with this passage. I want you to see signs of the sovereign. Signs of the sovereign. That which is in control of all things. He says, let me back up here, and I'm going to get a running start here. I'm going to start in 15 so you can get the idea. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, knew that you were saved, I ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I've been praying since you're saved. You're saying, I'm praying what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want you to grow. And the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what's the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory and of his inheritance in the saints. He says, I want you to get a vision of what God can do. You're saved. God's got a big plan. I want your eyes to be wide open. You can see what he wants to do. Verse 19. He wants you to see what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I want you to get a vision of what God can do. And then I want you to realize God's going to be the one that's going to do it. And he can do it. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We got all that when he rose again and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name is named that's not only in this world but also in the world that is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave to him to be the head over all things the church. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We as the church need to realize and allow, so to speak, to him to be the sovereign in our lives. Now, in order to be the sovereign in the life of the church, the called out assembly, he needs to be the sovereign in the life of the individual members of that body. When we first got here, there was a dear man, his name was Royce Stevens. And Brother Royce would come over, and Tony and Deb Mangus would go and get him. And when he was 35, he had had a stroke. And bless his heart, his wife had left him. She didn't want to, she said, I didn't sign up for this, and she left. And it was his left side, I think it was, that was kind of, he had a cane, just kind of drug this leg. But he was the amen section. He sat right there. And he was amen, he was amen. And after a while, he started bringing Miss Geraldine Lewis, you know. Remember Geraldine? She passed away a few years ago. And the two of them were kind of two peas in a pod, and they traveled together, and she was blind as a bat. I mean, she just could not see. And she's trying to help him put his coat on. She's blind, and this wasn't work. And they laugh and giggle about trying to, you know. And you say, well, how could they have... They had a joy of the Lord. They knew they were saved. They knew what the Lord, they knew there was something better coming. And put it on there, and he was laughing. She was putting it on, and she said, you know she's blind as a bat, you know. And she laughed, and she said, well, he can't do a thing. He's just as dumb as a board. And, you know, but they were all part of the body of the Christ. Now, but wait a minute, watch this. He had this side to work just fine. This side didn't do what it's supposed to do. In other words, the head, who was Christ, the signals were not getting to this side of the body. Now, he could get around and he could move and he could kind of do what he had to do to get through the day, but wouldn't it have been nice if everything worked the way it should? That all the parts of the body were getting the signals from the head. That's the way it needs to be in our church. We don't need to be getting our signals from someplace else. We need to be getting the signals from the head. The head of the body is Christ. The head of the church is Christ. Now hang on. I'm not the head of the church. I'm the under-shepherd. I care for you. I need to be his tool, his hands here. But the fact is, I'm just a sheep like the rest of you. Now, I have certain qualifications, and I need to make sure that I live by this and so forth and so on. I understand that. But don't get your signals from a man. Get your signals for Christ. And the book is right there. And that's why we laboriously go through these things, because I want you, every time you read your Bible through every year, hint, 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 hint. Every time you read your Bible every day, you're going to get here and say, ah, I remember what that meant. I remember what, I may have to feed you a little bit here, but after a while, you're going to start feeding yourself. He says, I want you to know that the body is the fullness of him, and he's the one that filleth all in all. Number four, signs of the sovereign. He says, which the church is his body. The church is the called out assembly. Assembly. Those who he knew would get saved, and thus he has a plan for. We've talked about that. Now, he didn't make the decision, but he knew. This is the called out assembly. This is us. This is the church. This is the body. By the way, let's see here. Now, you have a brother here, right? He has a brother here. Stand up. Then your brother stand up. He's bigger than he is. Now, he has all his parts. And he has all his parts. But the fact is, if you really, have you ever two got in a fight? Yeah. Did he beat you? One of these days, you know what's going to happen, though? You're going to be as tall as he is. There's going to be time you're going to catch up. Now, by that time, Lord willing, you have the spirit of wisdom that you don't do those kind of things anymore. But your body can do some things that his body can't do. It's a little stronger. It's a little mightier. You guys can have a seat. That's what needs to be happening in us. We're the assembly. We're the called out assembly. And he's got plans for you. And he wants to grow and do something greater. And as years go by, we should become a mightier force, not because of our force, but because of the force which he has put in us to do the work of God. So number two, he says, the body, that means a sound whole. On your paper there, a complete tool. A complete tool to be used. In fact, that word body has a connotation to be a slave to the head. A slave to the head. I'm just going to do whatever my head says. Problem is, these parts of the body, the called out assembly, has minds of their own. All right? You ever see somebody who's got a part of the body that seems like it has a mind of its own? Can't. That's not good. Gets in the way. Same thing with the body of Christ. We all need to be in tune with him. He's the boss. He's the head. And it says the fullness of him, the completeness of Jesus. So in other words, here's the word you're looking for. The church body is the complete body of Christ on his earth, on this earth. We all need to fulfill our role. No part of the body should be going along for the ride. All the parts of the body have a job. Some of them are a little more constant than another. Some of them maybe a little more difficult than the other. Some a little more complex than the other. Maybe that's a better word. But we are complete, and we need all of us. Now the fact is, and I'm not picking, I'm loving them. Some of our body didn't come tonight. I'm glad you're here. And I'm not hurt. Listen, no man hath hated his own body, but loves and nourishes it, right? And I was talking about the husband and wife. Listen, I love all the people here. And I want them all to grow to their fullest potential. But the fact is, we just kind of have to do what we can do. But I can't tell that part of the body what to do. All I can do is tell them, here's the head. Here's what he's telling us to do. Here's the head. Here's what we're telling them to do. Think what we could do if everybody was here. We had 400 people here this morning. Suppose all 400 came back tonight. Think of the impact our body could make on our community. And you know what happens? It starts to, our job is to bring forth fruit, and the fruit should remain. The body expands. You exercise the body and work it out, and all of a sudden you become kind of buff. Huh? My chest done dropped in my drawers, but buff, it never was up there. Anyway, it's the body. It's complete. And watch this. It says, and that filleth all in all. Number four. That word filleth means to cram into. He crams all of who he is. Watch me. God crams all of who he is into every part of the body. If they go to a crime scene, all they need is a hair. And they can find the DNA. All they need is a flake off the skin. And they can find the DNA. So in other words, who I am is part of every single element of who I am. When Christ becomes the Holy Spirit, he comes in us. We are born again. We're regened. Every element of us has him. It should be showing up in us. We all have our part. We're all in all. We're all part of the same body. We all have him, and we have all of him. Let me say that again. We all have him if you're saved, and what we have is all of him. The point is, have we stopped him from having all of us? Now, does your life show the signs of the Savior in it? Are we full of Christ? Or are we just acting the part? If we're just acting the part, it's going to show up eventually. Are we partly filled? Or are we all filled with all of him? We have all of Christ in all of us if we're truly saved. But are we making full use of what God has chosen in his good pleasure to give us in our inheritance? Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you see signs of faith and love? Are you sanctified? Are you being sanctified? You're showing signs of growing in wisdom and truth and the knowledge of him. Do you have a disposition to want to constantly know more of Christ? Are you wanting your life to be conformed into the image of Christ? That's sanctification. Are there signs of the supernatural in your life? Are there things developing in your life that can only be attributed to the exceeding greatness of the power of God? Well, I don't know. Then we just need to keep surrendering ourselves to him, using us. Listen, there's things he wants to do. He's just waiting for us to get in the right place. Are there signs of the sovereign in your life? Let me say it this way. Is it obvious that you allow God to run your life? Signs of the sovereign. Is it obvious that you allow God to run your life? When others look at you, do they see you running your life? Or do they see God running your life? If the body of Christ is going to work well, the entire body needs to be responding appropriately to the head of the body. Are you, as part of the body of Christ, surrendered to obey joyfully and fully to your head, Jesus Christ? that's what's going to make this work. That's what's going to make this work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, for speaking to us. We're going to see here a little later in the book of Ephesians how you're taking people from all over, bringing them together, make one body, that break down that wall of separation. And Lord, if we will surrender to the head, Jesus Christ, you will do great and mighty things, not just in our church, but in our personal lives as well. We'll see it in our families. We'll see it in our homes. We'll see it in our marriage. We'll see it in our ministries. We need to surrender or speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano organ's good.